I'll go ahead and introduce myself. My name is Julia, and I'm the Education and Programming Lead. I lived and worked in Tanzania for 2 years, working connecting the St. Paul Area Synod to its companion synod. So Tanzania is very close to my heart, and I am so privileged to get to spend time with Moses and Elliot, who happened to be visiting their companions, the Eastern Washington, Idaho Synod in the U.S. And they're going to be in the U.S. for 4 weeks, 5 weeks?
Four weeks more.
4 weeks longer. So it's been about a 5 to 6 week trip that they've been embarking on. But they would also like to introduce themselves and then share what hospitality means in Tanzania.
Thank you for, again, this beautiful day. And my name is Moses Ahobokile Nwaka. And the meaning of those names, Moses is known. Ahobokile means God forgives me, and Nwaka means Noah, you know, the man, very famous man who made an ark. So those are my names, if I just want to give the meaning of those three names of mine. And I'm working as a pastor in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania, in a diocese called Ulanga Kilombero Diocese, which is a sister synod, sister diocese to our friends in East Washington and Idaho Synod. Currently, I serve also as the sister to the bishop to that particular diocese. Yeah, I was invited. This is my second time to come to the U.S. I was here 2 years ago. That was 2017. And I'm back now after 2 years. I'm really so grateful that I have this chance to see my sisters and my brothers in Christ. Thank you. Thank you so very much for your warm welcome. And was it when I came here? It was just amazing welcome, and I don't know, but maybe later we speak about our study, then I will talk a bit about that. Mm-hmm. Please, Eliud.
Yes, my name is Eliud Zakaria Payoela. Like my brother here, we come from Tanzania, Ulanga Kilombero Diocese, and ELCT means Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania. I'm a pastor also. I worked as a pastor almost, now it's 20 years. Currently, I'm a chaplain in cathedral, but before that, I worked in different parishes, and then I was teaching in Tumain Lutheran Seminary, even though seminary is different here with your perspective. When we call seminary there, we mean a certain organization which lead hold secondary school and somehow Bible school and other small activities there. So it is not like the seminary you have here in USA. So I worked there almost for 9 years and a half. But this year, 1st April, I have been transferred from Tumain to Cathedral, whereby I will be a chaplain under Pastor Moses. The cathedral is the area whereby normally bishop used to worship. So a certain congregation or parish whereby there is a seat special for bishop. This we call the cathedral. And the cathedral means a seat. So this is a seat for the bishop. Well, I have married. I have 2 kids. The first one, she's almost 14 years, and another one is 8 years. Even though these are not my own kids, I have been just nurturing them. They are the kids of my sisters-in-law who passed away almost 8 years old. So I'm just taking care for them. Yeah, this is short history of my life. Thank you for being here. Others, I think they were being since we have started to introduce here, but others are new. That's why for some of you it is just a repetition. Others, it is a new thing. So thank you very much for your tentative listening.
So I have I've married to Naema, and we have two kids too. My firstborn is 17, and my secondborn is 14. She has just finished her junior high school, and she's just going to join senior high school. And my son is just in second year in junior high school. If I want to put education pattern as it is in here in the U.S. So now let's come back to business then. It's like we have some there will be some repetitions, as we, you know, some of you were not here for the last time when we had some presentations here. But let us start with the hospitality. It has been very difficult for us to find the starting point. As you know, it's very difficult to speak hospitality from your own point of view. Normally, we like to hear from others how do they see when we welcome our guests in Tanzania and maybe in some parts of Africa too. How can you define hospitality from our point of view, and how do you feel? Can you tell that we are very good at receiving guests, or we are just very poor? So it has been very difficult for us. And you know, when we arrived here and we saw Julia with the other colleagues, they are waving for our coming, and with a special paper written "Karibuni Moses and Eliud." You see, it was too much for us. It was just too much, and it's very difficult for us even to contain even that one. So we thought ourselves, how are we going to say about hospitality? We just felt that we've been overwhelmed, overcome here. And so we just feel like it's part of you, and we are really so happy to be with you here. And so then we think, how can we talk about hospitality? Then we thought maybe with some stories, maybe just to bring to attention, how do we understand hospitality from African point of view, from our own tradition, understanding of hospitality, especially to our guests. Now we start with some stories, and my colleagues say some stories too. For us, we have a proverb saying, "Mgeni njoo, mwenyeji apone." Mgeni means a guest, mwenyeji means a host. So it's like we are saying, "You guest, please come so that we can live." You see, so that we can survive. That means without our guests, we cannot live. That's a paraphrase or translation, sort of, because it's very difficult to define it in a very understandable language. But it's like, "You guests, please come. As you come to my house, is when also I will live. Is when also I'll be blessed." That means without you guests coming into my house, then I will really not get any blessings. So normally we that's one of the famous proverbs down there. Mugeni njoo, mwenyeji apone. As guests are coming, then the other host really live. They really have life. So for us, we have been brought up in a culture where guests are the sources of blessings in our lives. So it's like we cannot succeed, we cannot be blessed if we reject receiving guests. In that sense, the best portion of anything we have is for the guests. So you see, if we have your staff there, you are keeping some of this pottery. The best cook, the big cook, that big one, that will be reserved for a guest. If you are bananas, that big banana stuff outside, you at least reserve one for guests. If you go for the chaga, for example, around the Kilimanjaro, they reserve that huge banana. That only for the guest. In other words, even if we are in difficulties, even if we are in some crisis, you must deserve something for the guests. That's how we are brought up in our culture. That's how we are brought up in our society. That's how I've been brought up. That you must have the best portion for a guest. In other words, now, even if we would eat very poor food stuff, but when a guest comes, into my home, then there is a good portion I've reserved for guests. So that's how we take guests now. When you see us reacting, behaving to guests, that's how we have been brought up. That's how we see guests when they're coming there. But we know that if you see guests are coming to your house, that shows that God is bringing blessing into your house. You don't see them, that means you're running away from God's blessing. So we would always, as from our traditional and cultural life, welcome guests wholeheartedly, because we believe guests are just blessings from God, blessings from all parts of the world where they come from. Even from within ourselves, if you see somebody is coming to your house, you say, please, karibu, mgeni njoo, mwenyeji apone. So please come, as you come into my house, really, I'm really blessed. So this is how we define the whole question of guests coming to a house. Now, is a source of blessing. So hospitality comes automatically from that point of view. From that point of understanding, then how now we can express our hospitality now to our guests who are coming to visit us. And as you come to visit us, we are not the best one, but I don't know. Maybe when you come, you just observe it. And that's why I said it's very difficult to speak from one point of view that we are the best in receiving guests. But that's how we do understand. We may not be very good at receiving guests, but that's how we actually understand the whole question of hospitality to our guests. Mm-hmm. Well, now, Edward, maybe you must have some few examples to guests. Yeah.
It is true that today it is a very difficult day because you have given a test for self-evaluation. When we speak about hospitality for Tanzanians, it means that we need to evaluate ourselves. So it is somehow difficult. But as my dear brother here said, we just bring you some sort of story and tradition, how we live there at home. Maybe from there you may grasp the meaning of hospitality and how we Tanzanians really, we host guests. Apart of being that saying, mgeni njoo mwenyeji apone, we have another saying is also said that a guest like a bed, he just or she just come and take a little and leave many portion or goods for yourself. So there is no matter or there is no meaning to hate a guest because he just come and take a little, a single day. So if you hesitate a guest, it means that for our culture, people, they will not really evaluate you because a guest is just a bed. He just come and took a little, and then went away. And the meaning of mgeni njoo mwenyeji apone, it seems sometimes a guest may come to your house and you don't have something to give for him or her. So you may go to your neighbor and seek for help. Due to the importance of that guest, you may get goods from your neighbor. By doing so, it means that even you as a host, you may share with a guest. This is the meaning again, mgeni njoo mwenyeji upone. And again, when I was a little kid, sometimes we were very happy to welcome guests because, as my dear friend here said, that the most valuable things were reserved for guests. So when a cock is just rounding there and there is no guest, you may look today, tomorrow, and you can't eat the eat. But once a guest came there, the cook will be slowed, and then you will share. So this is, we were blessed by the guest. And according to I'm a Bena in tribal, So we as Bena, once a guest comes in my home, I can prepare some stuffs for him or her, and then if I'm really Bena again, I can't eat and finish it. Once you finish a portion of that food, it means that you are not satisfied. So I may be increasing another. So you need to eat and left a bit. So this is why we kids really, we are very happy on that. So a guest may left some remnants there, and then we share with the guest. So it is really a happier day. To me, I think you Americans, you are very good in hospitality. We see here in Holden Village, not only here, even myself, this is the second time to come here in USA. The first time was 6 years ago, it was 2013. So every house really I entered, I experienced this kind of hospitality. Compared to the Europeans, you people really, you are better on that. I went in Denmark, it was 1992. To me, it was a really amazing story. We were living as we are living here. We just sleep to a certain host, and the next day we were shifted in another. So it comes a day when our host really driving us to a certain house, and we entered there. It was a lunch time. So everything was prepared in the table, so that the host, what he did, he just brought us in our neighbor there while the lunch was already prepared, and they say, okay, goodbye. So he went away without taking anything there. So to me, as an African, it was a stranger thing because you can't do so. As a Bena, even though you are really satisfied and you may come to a certain house and you may see that the family is really taking food, you need a bit to share. And then you say, Doc, thank you, I have satisfied. If you refuse, it means that you are out of that community. So this is how really we value hospitality in our area. And as we said, it is difficult to say that really we Tanzanians, we are doing well in that. But this is just a history and a background how really we understand about the hospitality. And as I said, you Americans, you are good on that. Congratulations.
Sir,
thank you.
I have just one story to add, as for myself too. That was, I think it was 20, maybe 13. We had a privilege to attend the LMC, you know, in Tanzania with Lutheran Missionary Corporation. We would meet with other colleagues from Europe and other parts of the world, mostly from Europe. So we have a board of other partners, so we call Lutheran Missionary Corporation. And so I had a privilege to attend with one colleague from Sweden. And so when we went for that meeting, and they assigned us to one of the parishes in Northern Diocese. And when we went there, we saw the parish. They prepared a goat, it smoked, you know, they smoke it, and it's like it's still alive, but it smoked so, so good meat. And they said, this is yours. And that was a sign of high degree of hospitality. And they said, you are our dear guests, and I went with Johansson from Sweden, and they said, you are our dear guests, and so this is yours. You take, go with it and just go and eat. That was the whole goat. Mm-hmm. It was smoked and in a very special traditional way, but the meat was just so good. And so we said, yes, Thank you so very much. I wanted to take it into a car. And so I thought, no, there must be a mistake somewhere. How can I take all of it on myself and my friend here? But that's too much, by the way. And they say, oh, you know, you, my host, what should I do? Then I said, just say thank you and let us eat together. And I said, thank you very much and let us eat together. And so we shared it. In just 5 minutes, everything was over. But they were very happy, and that was the way to say welcome. They deserved that beautiful part of the goat for us, just for us to eat, and it was just like that. That's how we take into our lives those guests who comes from other parts of the world too. So we like part of them, we share with them, and sharing itself was very important. We don't eat, guests are not eating themselves, but we share together with them that please welcome in our family. You are part of our families. You are our best friends. Let us eat together and enjoy together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, so we wanted to open up this conversation about hospitality also in light of how we framed some of these other conversations that we've had. If you attended the first session, you heard about like an overview of Tanzania, where it's located in East Africa, how it's been a peaceful nation. It's really been unique in that context of tribes really getting along, and some of this attributed to the way that the first president, Nyerere, shaped the country, really uniting tribes through a common language of Swahili. We also then talked about global partnership and what it means to be a partner, presence being such a big aspect of that. You've also heard Moses and Eliud allude to this concept of I am because we are. Mimi nihivyo kwa sababu
tuko
nihivyo. And that is very much ingrained throughout Swahili culture. When you do have guests coming over to your home, to be able to share resources, to share food and drink is a sign of blessing, and for those people to receive that, acknowledging that these are resources, is a gift to the entire community, and it's this act of breaking bread together that brings fellowship, that brings a sense of interbeing. You also mentioned, as you talked about this, you've been hearing Moses and Eliud tell stories. Oral culture is so important in Tanzania. When you go and spend time with people, you are with them and are exchanging. How are you? Tell me, how is your family? How is work? And this playful nature that's a very funny like exchange. I feel like Tanzanians are always smiling and laughing, and I feel like that's in part because they have some really great stories that they're sharing. All of these things kind of relate to the, I think, like presence that hospitality has within Tanzania. So we wanted to give you, for people who haven't experienced the first two presentations, just like a general orientation of Tanzania being in East Africa. And then we are going to jump ahead to see a couple videos, just so that you can see some insights into different ways of being and different ways of welcome and maybe different experiences of the church that show hospitality.
So that's Tanzania, the map of Tanzania is in East Africa actually. In north we have, you can see we have Kenya in the north part of it and Uganda. That cannot be seen, but we have Rwanda and Burundi on the top. Northwest, yeah. Mm-hmm. And to the west, we have Democratic Republic of Congo and Burundi. Mm-hmm. And down we have Mozambique and also bordering Lake Nyasa is Malawi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are our headquarters is in Morogoro. You can see it down there. I don't know how you see it, but it is just there. The yellowish one.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's Ifakara. That's where we come from. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Dodoma is the capital.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Dar es Salaam is the main business city.
Mm-hmm.
Dodoma is the capital city. Yeah.
And it takes about 10 hours to get from Dar es Salaam to Ifakara.
Yeah.
But it's only about 300 miles.
So yeah, you're right.
Quite a long time with the roads and traffic.
Yeah, you're right. Because part of the road is unpaved, so it's not easy to go through those roads. So it takes some time because of the roads. They're not in good shape. But it's so interesting because you pass through one of the national parks. We do have 16, I think, national parks in Tanzania, more than 16 now. So one of it is Mikumi National Park. As you go through to Ifakara, you pass through one of the very, very famous national park, Mikumi National Park.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have time to see animals, elephants, giraffes,
mm-hmm.
you see buffaloes, you see lions. Lions are quite difficult to see, but you can manage to see them during the evenings mostly. Zebras, all sorts of animals, you can see them, and you see them free. That's why when we go through Mikumi National Park, we just drive very slowly so that they have a chance to see the beauty which the nature provides. And it's free now. Otherwise, you step down and go for normal tourism. But otherwise, just passing through, it's just free.
Yeah, and one thing that we kind of touched on in previous presentation is like the makeup of Tanzania in terms of religion. So typically Muslims tend to be along the coastal areas of Tanzania. Zanzibar is like 98% Muslim, as well as then along the Arab trading routes, the old Arab slave routes. That's also where there are pockets of Islam as well. But most of the interior of Tanzania is predominantly Christian.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Except, as you said, in those areas where Arabs do work for a long time. For example, if we go to the central part in Singida, there are a number of Muslims. In Tabora too, there are a number of Muslims. In those trade routes, yes, there are a lot of Muslims on the way.
Mm-hmm.
But again, one third of Tanzanians are Muslims. But again, we live as sisters and brothers. So normally, yes, there are some sparks or some groups who would always try to instigate a sort of conflict between Christians and Muslims, mostly maybe attacking churches, maybe some church leaders and so. But again, we try our best to manage the situation. We have never went into severe sort of conflict between Christians and Muslims. We try from our side as Christians for sure to make sure that those who are trying their best to bring us into conflict, into fighting to each other, they don't succeed. Just having that in our mind, we can suppress all sort of instigations that we go into conflict with our friends, the Muslims. We are together in almost all the things. They are part of our families. Some of our families partly are Muslims, partly are Christians. So that's how we live there down there in Tanzania.
One thing that is interesting is since Nyerere, the first president of Tanzania in 1964, it's alternated between a Christian president and a Muslim president back and forth.
That's just an extent.
Yeah.
It just happened because it's not like a common rule that when the first president is a Muslim, the next one must be a Christian. It just happened.
It just happened
that Nyerere was a Christian, and of course he was Roman Catholic Christian. The next one was a Muslim. The other, the Mkapa was also a Roman Catholic Christian.
Mm-hmm.
This Kikwete was a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
A third one is also a Roman Catholic,
mm-hmm.
Magufuli.
Yeah.
And so it's just it's just a coincidence, so yeah. to say. It's nothing to do with that would be the general rule for presidency in Tanzania. It's just happened and just like that, mm-hmm. just like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So now we just wanted to show a couple images and then some videos. And these actually come from my time in Tanzania. So I'll just frame this. I worked connecting the St. Paul Area Synod to its Companion Synod. So in a lot of ways, I spent a lot of time in the car visiting congregations. There are 70 congregations in St. Paul that have direct partnerships with 70 congregations in Iringa. And so part of my work was to help strengthen and deepen that relationship. And as you've heard, a big part of that, and also within the U.S. culture as well, is presence in the sense of how we grow relationship. So visitation was really emphasized, and I got the opportunity to travel alongside my Tanzanian colleagues into different villages and into different towns. This particular image, I believe, comes from Ilambilole, and we are driving up. We're still probably 2 kilometers away from the church, and this crowd had gathered, many of who were in the congregation, to come and welcome us. And so then they walked and ran the rest of the way back to the congregation. But you can see there are 2 men on a motorbike, which we call a piki piki in Swahili, and they have garnished kitenge fabric on the back of it as flags. And you can see also children waving branches. Welcome is a really big part of hospitality, and oftentimes this will be accompanied with song and dance and clapping, and really an activity of life and joy. So you've heard, I think Eliud mentioned that he is of the Bena.
Bena, yeah.
And so is Moses. Iringa, which is where I lived, mostly has Hehe people. And I'm curious, I can't recall how many different tribes there are.
More than 125.
Yeah.
So, yeah, more than 125 tribes.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It is.
There's a lot of tribes, 125 different tribes in Tanzania. There's a lot of similarities, but also a lot of differences. So I will just play this for you all. And I'm going to just, hold on, I'm wondering if the sound is on.
Okay.
It says it's loading. Interesting.
That's
I wonder if it's not going to play for me. Okay, I might have to describe it, which is a big bummer because it's really beautiful. But the Hehe tend to wear bells around their ankles, and they're made out of, they're like cow bells, so oftentimes it's like that old metal, and it becomes this clanging and stomping and dancing that's really, yep, wonderful.
He can do it.
Yeah,
he is in fact a Rudis. I'm not a Bena, I'm a Ndali one. He is from the very typical, of course, these two are like two tribes which are nearly connected in their culture, and he can do the same in their tribe. They do the same. They do like, they do it. I am not good in dancing. He knows how to do it. I can just make a mess here, but he knows how to do it because that's from his tribe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to play it a little bit differently.
Twigendela, twigendela, twigendela mungu wake.
See, we are marching in the light.
We are marching. Now they are singing in their own tribe. Mulwelu.
So that is another video, and that is from visiting a secondary school. Yes.
I love the African voice.
Yeah.
Is it?
Tanzanians sing so well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I think I'm going to keep, because I'm worried that it's probably done the same in all of my PowerPoints, so we're just going to see which ones I put on here.
Okay, this one.
Now this is...
This is Hey Hey Dancing with Bells. So it still stays on the image.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see here that people are wearing kanga, which is a type of Tanzanian fabric. And women have them wrapped around their heads as kilemba, which is a head wrapping, and then also draped around their torsos. And often, in Heihei culture at least, before you start dancing or singing, someone will wrap a conga around you because it gives you that extra like power in some sense of being like
a sort of a motivation.
Yeah, it's this like wrapped in your tradition and wrapped in by your community. So you'll often see that, and they just have it wrapped around their clothes. So you'll see they get, sometimes Hey Hey will get really into it. Like, after someone wraps a conga around them, it's like, oh my gosh, like, now it's my time to dance.
You can't stand it.
You can't stand it, exactly. And I don't know if there's anything you want to point out about dancing or singing.
It's just part of our culture and... you can't separate it, even in churches. In churches, that's why also among the youth, they would like dancing in churches too. So normally we have, in churches, we're both this normal church music choirs and those, but we have so many traditional sort of music. Mm-hmm. The youth like dancing, and so we give that chance to them, and so they're with their special choir.
Mm-hmm.
They can dance and enjoy.
Yeah.
So you see all these sorts of singing in the church. We have tried to change some of traditional songs into more meaningful songs, so that the young people can feel at home in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So you, when you come there, don't be surprised to see people are just standing up and dancing. The young people are just trying to, they're bringing beautiful, beautiful music. So they would like to join them and dance with them and enjoy with them. In that way, they like it in the church. They like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So as Moses said, there's certain choirs that just will lip sync and will have a choreographed dance. And they'll present that in front of the church during offering or as one of the certain musical parts during the liturgy as well. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm going to just keep working through these.
Inside the Maasai. These are Maasai.
Mm-hmm.
Julia, did you say those are lost signs?
Yeah, right.
Those are Maasai. So there's Maasai both in the north of Tanzania, mm-hmm. in the center of Tanzania, and in the south of Tanzania. They're a nomadic tribe, and they were spread all through Kenya as well. So that's been an adjustment for the Maasai to have to be rooted in some sense as borders have been drawn between the two countries and have been. And then just learning also to navigate national parks. So Maasai also are dealing with being displaced and having to be removed from certain preserves like the Ngorongoro mm-hmm. Crater, and they've lost a lot of their land. So that's a whole other challenge. But these are Maasai that are outside of Ruaha National Park in the south. And there is a growing Lutheran presence in the Maasai, which is really interesting and beautiful. The Maasai believe that all cattle belong to them.
Yeah, right.
And so they would steal cattle because for them it's their God-given right to have cattle, mm-hmm. which gets challenging in
they're just taking back What's theirs,
in their mind.
Yeah.
So from the Barabites to, I'm thinking of like some other tribes.
The Sukuma as well.
Yes, would have conflict with the Maasai. But that's something that has changed.
Over time it's changing.
And here you have Maasai warriors. You might notice like a little bit of a reddish tint on their hair, and I don't know exactly why, other than that, like, signifies a warrior in a sense. Do you know why that's the red tint? I don't know if
they are divided into groups. You know, the Moran, for example, the Moran are like the ones who are really taking care of the security of the society. So you would see them mostly. They would show up easily. When they show up, maybe for special dancing for them,
mm-hmm.
they are the warriors. They are really the young Maasai who are really busy mm-hmm. With protecting both the society and their animals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And many of the Maasai that I met, like, they have fought lions that have like wandered into the village. They're very fierce. They really just are strong and can jump. Actually, you don't see it in this video, but they jump very high. That's another one of their rituals of jumping, like having mm-hmm. jumping contests mm-hmm. in the air. But dancing and singing is also a big part mm-hmm. Of the way they welcome people as well, which is mm-hmm. why we wanted to show it. And you'll notice the women, I don't know if gyrate is quite the right word, mm-hmm. but they'll pulse their shoulders with these beaded necklaces that they make. And then you'll see the men also jump in there too. And it's like a really beautiful
Yeah, that's the way the Maasai are doing. Actually, they are also, among the Maasai, if they just receive you as their guest, they take very good care of you. Mm-hmm. They are very good too.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some parishes too, and some congregations among the Maasai. They are so generous people.
Mm-hmm.
And only when they notice that you are not working with them, and then they may turn against you. But in most cases, they're very, very good. In case mm-hmm. you are transparent to them and share with them whichever you have, and you are just honest to them, they are very good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course, you said most of the land were taken, but again, with this marking of the national parks, there is no way not to take them out because they lived really deep in the national park. So, mm-hmm. but they're being given some land to cultivate and to take care of their animals. It's not very bad. Of course, they've lost, but they are being given some other place where they do keep the animals.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, we don't have ranches there, so mm-hmm. we get our meat from those scattered parts of the societies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like they're being taken. I mean, they're being treated fairly, actually. When they try to raise their voice, they're being heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there is representation in parliament across most tribes. I know there are Maasai.
Yeah, you're right. There are.
And Bena and Hehe and Chaga. There's a lot of Chaga.
You are right. Yeah. It's like every tribe at least has some parliament members.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He can translate it anyway.
Yeah.
Can you?
I'm missing one word.
Uh-huh. Are you there?
Mm-hmm. Enter in the community of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Enter and rejoice.
We need to learn to rejoice.
Yeah, enter in the community of Jesus. Uh-huh. Enter and rejoice.
Enter into the community of Jesus. Yeah. And enter into rejoicing.
Yeah. 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 It's like.
Yes, yeah, so Elliot just translated that from Hehe, because Hehe and
Bena,
are similar, which is very impressive.
The important thing is normally when you come there to show our appreciations, to show, really, to thank God that our friends are among us, so we sing. And so when we see us dancing around you, when you come down there one day to Tanzania, don't be surprised, because we want to show that we are very happy and to just receive you down there. That's how we do down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this video is taken from a very small preaching point. This is the old church that they were worshiping beforehand, and they were able to raise funds both through their partnership, through a church that was donating from St. Paul, and then also among themselves. You can just see the corner of this new congregation hall, but they were getting ready to dedicate that. So there's a lot of excitement and rejoicing for what lies ahead in this small but growing congregation, which is really neat. Mm-hmm. I think I have one more video. Oh, this is like a little up and down.
That's good.
So I always love to like end on this one, because I think it gives you such an idea of the joy and the movement and the presence that communities have in Tanzania, and the way that welcome is so integrated into the way of life there. So now we wanted to open it up to you all to ask any questions that you might have of Eliud and Moses.
Yes, please.
When Heidi went there, she said that they don't have hymnals, that everything is memorized, all of your songs in your church. Is that true?
Yeah, you are right. There are some. Yes, of course, there are some common songs in our hymn book, which are very common, very, very common, that almost everybody can remember them. And so they can sing even without that hymn book. but not all of them, but most of the, so there are some songs which are very, very common. So I just started and everybody would just sing very easily.
But there is a hymn book.
There is a hymn book too.
We have.
Book, it's just, it requires resources to have that hymn book, so not all congregations will have hymn books.
Yeah, you are right. By the way, some can't afford to buy one, so normally when we just prepare songs for the worship, we must put some of them which are common, that at least everybody can be able to sing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's true. Yes, please.
I have a question about, like, so there are a bunch of different tribes. How separate are they? Like, will you have, like, cities that are just one tribe, or are the cities, like, do they have different tribes? And mm-hmm. are they still staying separate, or are, like, people marrying between tribes, or how is that working nowadays?
Mm-hmm. Do you think you can respond to that? Or? To be sincere, it's like this. We do have more than 120 tribes in Tanzania. But during the first presidency, Mwalimu Nyerere, when he was the first president, tried to bring together all these tribes. And so instead of cherishing our tribalism, we cherished our Tanzanianship. So it's like, yes, we have tribes, but we don't cherish much our tribalism. We cherish our Tanzanianship. So we feel together as Tanzanians, so we don't feel together as a single tribe. That means, that's why in Tanzania, rarely you see this tribal movement. This is a sort of tribal rivalry. There is no fighting between the tribes, most in Tanzania. And when you go, one of the criteria which would make you out if you are running for any position, if we identify with a tribe, is one of the discredits. So identifying yourself in your tribe is a discredit for any Tanzanian, even he or she is running for a position in any place. So yes, we have several tribes. We can just cross boundaries to made from any tribe. I'm married, not my original tribe. I am Ndali, and my wife is Nyakyusa, and I married a Nyakyusa girl. She's not from my former tribe. My friend too, he's a Bena, he married from Hehe. They are close, but they are not the same tribe. So we can marry from each tribe because we are Tanzanians. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In addition to that, tribalism in our country is not an issue.
Yeah.
And once you meet with your friend, you just greet him or her without even asking, where are you from?
Which
or
tribe?
What? And sometimes you don't even mention your name. You may meet with somebody in the bus or somewhere else, you just greet, and then you start to make a story until the journey ends. We can't ask, hello, what is your name, where
are
you from, what is your tribe? It's not the issue in Tanzania, even though we are more than 125 tribes.
It's that idea of presence. Like, once you meet someone in Tanzania, it's no longer that you're acquaintance, you know them. Mm-hmm. So you will say hello to them, you mm-hmm. will invite them to your house, you will share a meal with them. Once you greet someone, there's this connection of familyhood, this larger mm-hmm. familyhood concept. To speak to your point as well, there are regions where certain tribes are more prominent, like there's a lot of Chaga in the north.
Yeah, you are right. But in most cities, of course, there are law.
You see,
there is not even one place where we just see just one single tribe now. At least some people have moved in. So it's just almost everywhere. Of course, majority may be the Hehe or a sort, but when you go around, you see many, many other people from other tribes are welcomed. Mm-hmm. They live together. It's like, as you say, it's like the Muslims too. If you see it, you can say, are you a Muslim or a Christian? No, that's not a question to be known. You just say, are you a Tanzanian? Or in case he's a friend, whether he or she is from any country, from any place, that makes it's more important than going to one's tribe, one denomination, one's religion. It's not an issue down there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
How do you welcome a new person at your church?
And you?
No person in the church.
And you Christian?
Yeah, we have several ways. As I said, I worked as a pastor now almost 20 years, and I was in different parishes. When we really may be baptized, or a certain Christian from other parish came to our parish, first of all, we have a chance to announce that, okay, welcome all believers who entered in our church to worship, the hosts and the guests. If there is a certain guest, may he or she stand and greet his fellow or her fellow. So she or he may stand in front of the church, and then he or she may greet, and then we clap hands maybe several times and say welcome. After then, we may meet outside there and ask, where are you from? Where now are you living in this area? In area of the cities, we just appoint the church elder. Okay, where are you from? A certain street. So, okay, you, this is your elder. So please, and you have, if you have any question or trouble, you may contact him or her. And then we register in a certain book. So this helps us to make a follow-up.
The welcome is sometimes accompanied by a sort of stuff. Those stuff like those, I don't know English how do you call them, but that's how we say, okay, we express our like, please, warm welcome. Now you become part of our church here. Yeah.
And church elders can kind of be thought of as like a church council that we would have in the U.S., and elders will be responsible for like ushering, for counting, offering, for really taking service and leadership positions within the life of the congregation.
Yeah, like they're like just council members here, but they are distributed in several other places. So the first thing when there is something from when from a person in her house or whatsoever, he or she will go first to a church elder before it comes to a pastor, yeah. And then things are resolved like that. Those which it can be resolved down there, it can be resolved. Those which cannot be resolved, that comes to the pastor. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Any other questions or thoughts? Well, we'd love for you to walk away thinking about the ways in which you are hospitable in your life, or the ways in which you've experienced hospitality, and how you can lean into that.
So again, thank you so very much for taking the time to listen to us, and we really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Sante sana.